Welcome to the Consciousness Anywhere and Everywhere podcast. I am Shannon O'Hara, and I invite you to a completely new world of possibilities.
Hello, everybody. This is Shannon, and I'm coming to you today from Jerusalem, Israel. And I'm joined by one of my most beautiful friends, Katerina. And I asked Kat if she would do a podcast with me, and of course she agreed. And so I asked her what she wanted to talk about today, and why don't you tell everybody what you said?
So we've been here for, I think, 4 days or something. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that's so apparent here is how the past is present in everything. It's like tied into everything. And what I wanted to look at is how the unwillingness to let go of the past actually stops change, I guess.
Right.
So somewhere there.
So today's big consciousness conversation is about how we use the past to limit what's possible today and in the future.
Yeah, that's perfectly put. Yes.
So some people would ask you, like, shouldn't the past be, you know, it's interesting being in Israel and asking this question about the past, because I know, like, after World War II, and even today, because it really wasn't that long ago, there's a lot of, like, we need to remember the past to make sure we don't create the mistakes of the future again.
Right. And there has to be a difference between remembering the past, like being aware of the past, and being, it's kind of like the difference between if you're aware of something or if you have a point of view or conclusion about something. So there's, it's the kind of like the conclusions about the past, possibly, that sticks us, not actually the awareness of the past or what happened. Because I would say people who don't know their history also limit themselves.
Yeah. So it's like, how much do you guys use your memories of the past, your conclusions of the past,
right,
to identify or define who or what you can be today?
It's kind of like, it's the web of reference points that gets created by the past somehow, kind of like a spider web that we're in. If we just had the past with no point of view, if I look back to my past of men, for example, and I have no point of view about those relationships, I could go anywhere. But as soon as I put them as reference, that was like that, then that's my reference, and I'm not going to go there, or I am going to go there. I don't know how to see, you could probably take it further, but that web, that kind of like a spider's web of reference points that we're stuck in.
Well, I love what you're talking about. And you and I have both, this is a fascinating conversation about how we use the past, or do we use the past to limit the choices we can have today or tomorrow. And it's such a dynamic choice point, because how many of us use our past as a way of defining who we are today, as though that's all we can ever be, and this is the right way to be.
And if we take that to Israel, that's the whole definition is the past. Israel kind of used...
Right, the Jews took possession of Israel because it was promised to them in the Bible.
Yeah, and if we go with that, but, and then we have the Second World War, and then again. So one of the things I asked Gary at breakfast was, because we actually have an access class here, and I was saying, so how does not letting go of the past stop? And he said, one of the things is they just want the war to end. They're not willing for it to get worse, to change. So it's even because we already have these reference points of what we didn't like in the past and what we like, what's good about the past, what's bad about the past. And we don't want to go, what if that's part of defining where we're even willing to go? So we're already blocking some paths off by having the past.
Right. And if you woke up tomorrow and you had no memory of your past, who or what would you be today?
And what could you choose? What could you choose? So, and just look at the world. If everybody woke up and had no memory of the past.
Wow. Wow. Double, triple wow.
Yes. That's just, it's not even better or worse. It's just that energy of that, them all waking up.
And it's so interesting, because how many of you guys listening right now could actually put yourself in that place, like really go there, like look at it. If you woke up tomorrow and you had no memory, like you had amnesia or whatever, you know, I've actually had a hand injury and had temporary amnesia. That was an interesting experience. And it was a real gift, because it really showed me how that everything that you've learned or decided up to today could go away right away.
So that's amazing. So you actually had amnesia. Did you have short-term amnesia?
It was short-term. Well, it's in my book. It's the last story in my book, Talk to the Entities, and it's actually where I walked into this body. And it was a horse accident, quote-unquote. you know, and I came off the horse and woke up however long later, you know, with my face down in the dirt. And this was in Perth, Western Australia. And there was just no reference point. It was, I couldn't remember my name. I didn't know why I was there. There was a couple of my friends were there with me and they were just looking at me and I could tell they were upset, but I couldn't tell what they were upset about and I couldn't tell what was going on. And it took a couple days for me to really put everything sort of back together. But I even had to do stuff like relearn, like, how do we feed ourselves? Like, what's this fork used for? And it came back together pretty quickly, but it was from that point forward, I really looked at, wow, okay, so am I really who I was before or am I different now? And how many people are really willing to be different now?
And really different.
Like really different, yeah.
I was noticing when we start to talk about reference points, and a lot of my reference points are with my culture, like Sweden, my family, all of that. That's like a huge chunk of reference points. It was even when I started to let go of them, I felt like I was letting them down. Like, it's like I had a symbiotic relationship with my reference points.
So how many of you guys believe that your that if you let go of your reference points of the past, your identity in the past, that you'll be betraying your culture or betraying your family?
Yeah, that was actually the sense, betrayal. It was like I had such a such a symbiotic relationship. I felt like I was betraying my family, my upbringing, everything.
And isn't that interesting how do the people in our lives, are the people in our lives and in our cultures in allowance of us changing, being totally different and changing tracks or making different choices? Or is there a social influence that we stay the same, that we fit into the past reference points and that we don't change who and what we are? Because if we change who and what we are and if we let go of our past, what happens to them?
And I would say yes, there's a lot of that there. And in looking again at this world by perspective, what would happen if people were willing to betray their symbiotic relationships with their reference points in places like here, in places like there's so many places that are conflicts been going on for a long time where it's like thousands of years of what would happen if I would say that sense of betrayal of the reference points of the past, like that is constantly here, for example.
Yes.
That is truly what keeps it in place, that sense of I would betray this.
And I've had such, it's been so interesting being in Israel and watching people walk down the road. And I look at some people and I think, well, what if no one ever told you you were Jewish? What if you were never raised? Because I'm half Jewish and I wasn't raised with any religion. It was never in my universe. Growing up in Southern California, there was no religion. I mean, my parents were into like really like spiritualistic stuff, but there was none of that. And it wasn't until I married a German, because my husband's German, and his father, I met his father once, and then he asked my husband if I was Jewish. And I thought, how could he tell? And I had never even thought of myself as Jewish. And I went, yeah, I guess, well, in my blood, yes. Hmm. And it was recognizing, like, how much identity and how much reference point of the past is locked into I'm Jewish or I'm Arab or I'm, especially here in Israel, how they've got all these, like, you're either Jewish, Christian, or Muslim. It's like, but what if no one ever told you you were that when you were growing up?
So that sense of freedom is when I was around, I think I was around 20 or something, I moved to the U.S. for a few years, and I lived in the U.S. for a few years, and I still had that sense of total freedom. I lived in New York. Nobody knew who I was. I had no family there, and I was, like, exploring things like you do. And it was a sense of that Gulliver's, you know the book Gulliver's Travels?
Yeah.
And he ends up in this Lilliput country, and they all tie him down with these tiny little threads. And that's when I got out of Sweden the first time, and then I lived abroad for many years, but that first time it was like somebody actually cut them all off and I was free to become whoever I wanted to be. And that is all those reference points that I didn't have to obey. I didn't have to have them anymore. I'm sure I had a lot of them still. And yet it was so different than living at home, having to follow whatever path. And I remember when I was younger, so funny that I remember I was driving a car and I had to stop because I was like hit by such anxiety that I would have to become like all these people. I would have to have a house like them. I would have to have a car like them. I would have to have like 2 point whatever children like them. And I was like, oh my God, life cannot be this small. And I was so anxiety filled by this future that I was perceiving that was so boring. I had to stop the car. So for me, moving away from Sweden for a few years really open up such a much a bigger possibility. And I get that's part of not having the past there as present. I was like this entity that wasn't you know, wasn't tied down.
Yeah, well, I love this conversation because, like, as you guys know, the podcast is called Consciousness Anywhere, and I am so gifted constantly by having so many amazing people in my life. And I love that when I asked you what you wanted to talk about, you were like, let's talk about how we use the past as a reference point. And so it's like, what we're talking about, and you and I are both very, I'll do some tattletaling on us. We're both very dedicated and very committed to a very extreme choice for something different in the universe.
Yeah.
And both of us have really gone out of our way, really dedicated a lot of choosing, a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of money, a lot to changing our universes, getting more conscious, whatever that looks like, whatever that takes. And so in along that consciousness path, this question, this amazing question of, do you use your past to limit you today? You know, and so if you're looking for greater consciousness, and now granted, not everyone in the world is, of course, looking for greater consciousness. And I'm so excited because we're here in Israel, in Jerusalem, doing a Choice of Possibility class with Gary. And I've loved watching him facilitate this class because, to be honest, it's like no other class I've really seen him do. And now granted, we say every access class is totally different, but this one's like really like he's even having conversations and talking about things that I haven't heard him talk about in like 20 years. I thought, how interesting that that's coming out here. And he's not talking to these people about the conflict and the Palestinians and the Jews and the da 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 da. He's talking to them about the things that's going on more personally in their lives, like Where do you allow your family to limit, you know, your points of view? Do you allow your children's points of view? And creating a lot more ease and joy just by, like, he hasn't really addressed the definitions of Judaism or the I wonder today if we might. Or he hasn't really addressed, like, what I think really defines Israel as a culture. He's more talking about people in their personal lives and creating a lot of laughter and joy and ease and space in the room.
And he's not willing to be held captive by the past. Like when they're trying to go, you know, want to talk about the war or the con, he's like, what's actually going on? He's going instead, like you say, he's going to what's actually limiting. What is the core of this? And I find it so effective because it's so easy to get drawn into the drama.
And the definition.
And the definitions and the drama and the trauma of being in a country that's actually at war. So you're right. It is one of the most different classes. It's not what I would have expected, which
Me
is so
either.
Interesting. And just to look at that and how the change is actually from us. It's inside. It's not about addressing what's in the news or addressing what's actually going on.
Can we go back to what you just said about how the change is in us?
Yeah. Yes.
That's one of what I would say is the most powerful places to work towards or to choose from is to recognize that the world around you is alterable, that we can alter the world around us. We can alter the reality, literally, that is existing, quote unquote, through our own inner transformation. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we only understand that very theoretically. And what I've been able to discover through really getting empowered, like in class, some of the people get up to the microphone, oh, my body hurts, oh, I'm in pain, oh, my relationship, you know, pain, 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 pain. And Gary just keeps taking them back to where they're creating it and how they're choosing it.
Yeah.
And since I've been sort of weaned on how are you creating this and how are you choosing this, it has allowed me to engage with the consciousness of the universe in a generative way, that where I'm no longer at the effect of the world, I am creating and influencing the world. But I couldn't have that ease, that possibility, if I was stuck in who I was in the past, what limited me in the past, and what I could or couldn't choose in the past.
So it's nearly, strangely, we're talking a lot about the class, but it's kind of like he is undoing the past in the way that he's working, but he's not doing it by addressing what they've defined or concluded is important in the past. But the thing with the inside also, one of the best ways that I noticed that the change, so with my family, for example, none of them are interested in access. Mm. Literally not at all. Like they don't even ask about it. I worked with it for 9 years.
And right.
They don't, you know, they may be interested in like, how do you communicate? Well, we use Skype and Zoom, things like that, but not at all. in the tools. Or on the other hand, I've changed so much during these years that they do acknowledge that it's obviously working for me, and they change. Mm. They change. Our whole family has changed because I am this element and I've changed. And therefore, all those reference points again to the past, I'm not who I was in the past. They can't relate to me exactly the same way. So it shifts all our realities.
And this comes back to the thing that we mentioned earlier about how if you let go of your past, if you change your past reference points, are you betraying your culture? Are you betraying your family? And what if it wasn't a betrayal of your culture or a betrayal of your family? What if it was a gift of transformation?
I just realized something, even when we talk about this. So one of my reference points that I've had, I was bullied when I was a kid. So that was a reference point, right? So I was bullied. It's a reference point. But I even think that I had the point of view that I was betraying that little girl that was bullied if I gave that reference point up.
Wow. Like you needed to, needed to honor her, her traumatic memory.
Yes. And then, and somehow keep it alive too. So everywhere where I've been doing that, everywhere where I haven't been letting go of any of my past, you know, beings that I was, right around the pop, all nine shorts, boys and beyond.
This is so such a huge doorway of possibility, because when you talk about you being bullied, I mean, because if you talk about you being bullied as a kid, and then if we if that becomes insignificant today,
yeah.
It's like, how much freedom do you get when it is just an interesting point of view?
Yes.
Versus maintaining the trauma, the drama, the upset, the intrigue that you were bullied, therefore that was bad, therefore you're hurt, therefore you're abused, therefore you're for.
Yeah.
And then that is your story forever. Mm-hmm. But it's like, who are you today? And are you that little girl you were then?
And not at all.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Is the world even the same world?
No. And nothing really is the same. Not even the reality is the same as it was.
So I wonder if we use, how much do we use past reference points as a way of not having to be creative today?
A lot.
You know?
So, and it is true. It's like the way we kind of, the past reference points is how we limit even where we can go. Like what do you say?
It's almost like easier to just be stuck in the past. Mm-hmm. Although is it really easier? Like, is it really working for you guys? You know, it's like easier, quote unquote, to just live in the past. Because then you don't actually have to ask yourself any questions for today. What would I really like to choose now?
And you know, what's really cool, because one of the things that often comes up when I tell, because I used to work for United Nations and Doctors Without Borders, and I used to work a lot on changing the world, you know, like for 12 years even with all of that. And so people sometimes ask me, so how does, you know, access consciousness or consciousness come into this changing the world? But what we're talking about goes both to me and my past reference point, but it actually goes to the whole world. The whole world is keeping itself in realities based on the past reference points.
The whole world is keeping itself in realities based on past reference
points. And they're different, but they're still there based
They're
on
still a- held in point by all of us just agreeing that, yes, this is the way it is.
So, but that's, and that's kind of strangely how, and also from what you were saying from within, but it is from within, but it is, if people were willing to let go of the reference points of the past, what kind of world could we create? What kind of world could we actually generate now?
And that is the question that I love. What kind of world could we actually generate and create? You know, because it's like, if we look at this, is, and this is what I love, this is why I started this podcast, and this is what I love about having these kinds of conversations, because it's like, how many of you guys literally are just like surviving your lives? What would be possible, and would you be interested in stepping into a different creative possibility where you weren't just surviving your life, you were actually thriving?
Yes.
And can you thrive when you're stuck in the past?
I get no on that. And it's so interesting how the reference points helps, because they actually, it's kind of like you can nearly perceive how we're stuck in different points in the past. And uncreating those, like uncreating those reference points, then also uncreates the objectives that are based on the reference points, which is where we think we have to go.
And what's such a trip is, if you really ask, like, I mean, we're having a conversation about reference points and objectives. And for us, it's like, it's a normal conversation, right? And like, if you really look at, if you didn't have a reference point, like this is now where we start leaping off the edge of reality and into this unsure, undefined, potentially terrifying space, where it's like, if you had no reference point to choose from, what would you choose? And how many of us, myself included, go, ka-clunk.
Yeah.
Whoa, okay.
It nearly goes blank.
Yeah, it's like,
which
that's new.
So
that's different.
Interesting. It actually nearly goes blank.
And I've heard Dane talk about, is it blank or is it, oh, how did he put it? It was brilliant. Because I've looked at that blank as not necessarily blank, but this sort of transition space from the old way I used to function into this new way of being.
Well, it's like a space of possibility that is not based on reference point. Therefore, we can't even, because we're going beyond what we can imagine.
And
it's like,
and all we've known is this language of reference point. And when we remove that language, then what's there?
Yeah. Oh. It's a whole different space. Because as soon as I'm trying to then think of, okay, what would I choose to create? I actually have to go back to reference points to find it.
Yeah, and so that's what's been so interesting for me is going, okay, so if I was no longer making my choices based on reference points, definitions, and objectives, if I had none of that as my starting place, then what? And it's total space. And then I'm like, whoa, okay, anything's possible. And it's like, ooh, okay, wow, if anything's possible, then really what? And it sort of makes a lot of the realities of what I would call this reality on Earth seem irrelevant and completely not interesting to me.
Yeah.
You know, you can have the best of what this reality has to offer, the money, the sex, the beauty, the family, the, I don't know, whatever people think is the best of this reality. And is that really all that's possible? Or is there something that we have not yet chosen to embody that would be possible on this planet?
It's funny because I was, when you were talking, and even with this space of, because it's like a space full of different energies somehow, that's Earth keeps coming up. Because Earth keeps coming up too with, I mean, Earth doesn't really have a reference point. It just is. And it's affected by what we choose based on reference points all the time. What would occur with the Earth if we actually were willing to function without reference point? What would be possible? I mean, nature changes all the time in the most mysterious ways. Like if you have a species where all the males die, or all the females die, or whatever the way they make children, usually that one that's left manages to create children without the other. Like they literally create miracles.
And on and on
yeah.
and on.
And that's
yeah.
just one. So what if, and they have no reference point, therefore they can. Therefore they suddenly become something that will make the species.
Like I would even ask, but is that how that occurs with nature? And that I love that you're pointing that out, that a gender of an animal can change, or that a whole species of animals can transform the way it functions based on natural necessity. And do they achieve that through having no reference point of reality?
Well, because if they did have, I am a female.
I'm a female. This is my job in life.
So somehow they actually don't have any reference points to the past.
Yeah.
What if we could function like that? What if that's actually how this whole thing with climate change, like we're not going to be saved by recycling. So what is actually required?
You know, I've thought, this brings me to this real genuine question of, like, because I've looked at animals and I've looked at nature a lot, and I look at how animals perceive and they be and they have all this space and sort of joy of embodiment, depending on the animal and blah, blah. And I've looked at that and I've gone, okay, so we've got animal bodies and we've got this other thing where we think, why did we get this, what I guess would be called a sentient quality? And is the sentient quality a gift or a curse?
What do you mean with the sentient quality?
The ability to think.
Oh.
To have self-observation.
Mm.
Like animals don't self-observe.
No.
You know, there isn't,
no, that is
they
true.
Don't think, they don't. And I found myself saying the other day in a class that I was facilitating, I said, if an animal doesn't understand it, it's not real. And I thought, I said it, and I went, whoa, is that true? And I looked at it, and I went, yeah, if an animal doesn't understand it, it's invented. Numbers are invented. The monetary systems are invented. Even family is invented. If you were never told who your family was, would you recognize them if you walked by them on the street? Of course not.
Yeah.
So we live our lives from all of these constructs or concepts that animals don't. Yet, and I look at, okay, so if I lost my sentient thinking capacities, or what kind of a world would that be? Or is it about losing those capacities, or is it about evolving them to something that is this superior form of consciousness embodied?
Which is where the constructs are reference points, basically. So you're basically saying if they transformed into interesting points of views.
I guess that's what I'm saying. I'm questioning what that would be and where that would go.
Well, even it may not be what you're saying, but even when I was tapping into that, that would create something completely different. Because this would be your family, but you would have an interesting point of view about it. You wouldn't have the reference point to the past, like
and the
how did they raise it,
yeah.
How did they, and there may be probably something even greater there that we haven't even, because getting rid of them, it's kind of like we're going to eliminate them because they're bad, but nothing is really good or bad.
And so it's this thing of like, if you look at number one is a reference point. We have to learn that concept. We don't naturally come in. However, joy, like laughter, is natural. That's something we come with. We're not taught that. In fact, we're taught against that usually.
Yeah.
So the number one takes, I remember watching this Carl Sagan. Do you know Carl Sagan?
Yeah.
I am in love with Carl Sagan. I remember watching this video where he talked about how what has to happen in the brain to learn the concept of the number one. And I went, whoa. And that just really showed me like, the whole monetary system, like when we talk about how much something costs or what we owe or, you know, all that, any computation, how that is something that computation we're taught, all reference point. If we lost the concept for the number one, then what would there be? Gifting and receiving, which is what nature does, which is how the animals function with nature. They receive and gift. And I use the American buffalo as that example. When they stampede, when they eat and when they poop on the ground, it generates the earth. We don't tend to have that effect on the earth.
Right. Because we do learn the number one, like from in that way. But there are cultures. I used to study social anthropology. And one of the things that I found so fascinating was exactly that in some cultures, they never learn number one. They don't function that way. And their whole way of functioning differs because their constructs are different, because their reference points are different. And the more the world becomes global, the more we all move into a similar
united reference point
system, right? But back in time when the world was more isolated, I guess, in different cultures, I would say the way people think is different depending on what constructs you've learned. So it's just that show says that it is just inventions. It's all inventions, all constructs. So what is there, like if we took them away, is that what you, or is it actually like evolving, like you were saying? Is it?
I think it's evolving. I think that the sentient capacity is a gift that we're not really empowered to discover and to utilize to its full capacity. Because if we're stuck in the past, if we're always referencing the past, we're never developing what's possible today, what's possible.
And we're also kind of, we are being kept captive of the past because it keeps repeating itself since we are not evolving forward. We're not changing it. So
does the past repeat itself?
Well, look at this, where we are
right
now. Or
do we think it's repeating, but it's really not. It's really a different space and time.
Mm-hmm. So it seemingly.
It seemingly repeats
because
itself.
Because we're using the reference points to compare.
I mean, it's like when the sun rises tomorrow, is that a repeat or is that a new possibility?
A new sun.
You know,
yeah,
it's the same sun, or is it? Or is it a new? Yeah. It's just sort of when you said the past repeats itself, I thought, does it?
Yeah.
Granted, I don't really live in reality, so I guess for a lot of people that
no,
wouldn't be
I think
true.
It's actually a reference point or a like because if you hear it and go like, is it? Then it's something that's kind of blipped out that is a conclusion bought somewhere or a point of view bought somewhere. So
let's say the past repeats itself three times.
Yeah, the past repeats itself, the past repeats itself, the past repeats itself.
And all the shit you're implanting and explanting, creating that has reality. Let's destroy and create
yes.
it. Right, wrong, good, bad, all nine, pad, puck, shirts, boys, and beyonds.
But just as this thing with, what do you call it, the sentient being?
Sentient.
Yeah. Sentient being. It's a word I didn't know.
Huh.
Well, probably somewhere.
Welcome to my fancy American English.
Exactly. One of the things that would allow is also if you were willing to have it as a gift, is that you can, if somebody says, you can look at yourself and you can change. If you don't hold on to your past, if you don't have to be who you were yesterday, and somebody says, well, when you choose this, that created that, you can go, oh, that actually wasn't my best choice, because you have the capacity of reflecting over yourself and you could choose something different. animals necessarily can't do that in that way. They can't.
Right.
They can't use that capacity.
Well, they don't have self-knowledge as an experience.
Exactly. So they can't. So I'm not really saying it's better or worse, but it's, since we have this gift, we can actually use that to create ourselves.
And that's what really excites me, is that if we were really truly willing to be conscious, whatever that looks like, whatever that takes, because I'm not going to begin to profess that I can understand or define what consciousness is. And if we, I love what you said about how we can actually look at ourselves and change.
Yeah.
It's like, do you function from that you can change anything, or do you function mostly from that you're still subject to the limitations of what was? And everything that is.
Yes.
Let's destroy it and create it. Right
now, I'm good about Papak all night shorts, boys and beyonds. Wow. This conversation goes everywhere.
And I always want to go as far as possible. So it's, I thank you for showing up here and having this and asking questions, because I love exploring the universe with you.
Thank you. I love exploring the universe with you. And it just got bigger for me. So I am so grateful. Walking out of here, things are different than walking in here, which is exactly what we've really been talking about.
So if you guys want a tool or something to play with for this past as a reference point conversation, you could play around with this. And it's one of the tools I've used that has actually enabled me to discover what true choice is I look at, okay, if I woke up tomorrow, and everyone and everything was gone. All the people were gone. Everything else was still there. The cars, the cities, the animals, the nature, everything was still here, but the people, everybody was gone. What would you choose? And if you don't know what you would choose if everyone was gone, it means that you use everybody else as a reference point for your choices. And until you can discover what you would choose if everyone was gone, do you fully have your reality?
That's amazing.
So thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed. You probably wouldn't want to listen to this one a couple times. We went a lot of places and a lot of spaces. And how does it get better than this?
And what else is possible?
So if people want to find you, Katarina, to find out, because you are also a facilitator. You are one of the big sort of creators and supporters in terms of the business of access, but you're also facilitating classes. I know that you're going to be doing a foundation class in Sweden.
In two weeks.
So this probably will air after you've finished your foundation class.
Well, you can find me. I have a website called katarinavalentin.com. So katarinavalentin.com. And you can also, I have a podcast about books. So you can find that at bigbetterbestbooks.com. If you want to go and listen, you know, me exploring the world of books and where that goes and where it can go. Because for me, words and books somehow has to, if you really look at the energy of words, and really, even in this conversation, the energy of words is part of what we're looking at. Like, so books has a magic to them that my whole life I've been exploring. So you can come and listen to that too.
Awesome. Thank you. Bye, guys.
Thank you for listening to this show. My target is to make consciousness easy to find and choose. So if you enjoyed this podcast, please leave a 5-star review on iTunes and share this with somebody who you know who might be looking for more consciousness in their life. You can visit me on shannon-o'hara.com or talktotheentities.com. And to learn more about the amazing tools of Access Consciousness, you can visit accessconsciousness.com and be sure to subscribe to the podcast.